You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke with Andrew Bearcroft, who is the Children's Commissioner, on his annual report of the child poverty statistics for Aotearoa. While he says the halt in the growth of child poverty is promising, we shouldn't get complacent and more is needed to be done to tackle child poverty. I spoke with Andrew about the report.
Poverty has been halted. And what's changed between now and last year?
Well, you're right. For the first time, we can say it's certainly not getting worse and it's getting slightly better. And that's a source of genuine encouragement and room for cautious optimism. What's changed are a number of things. We're beginning to see the effect of the $25 a week increase for families with children in terms of benefits. Although, remember, these figures relate to a collection period that ended June last year. So there was only 2 months of the additional $25 a week. So we haven't by any means seen the full effect of that at all. What's also changed, I think, to some extent, the economic growth has had an effect. And I think you could argue that, for instance, charities and the like are making, NGOs are making a much bigger contribution, especially in the field of material disadvantage. I think there are many organisations that are providing clothing and shoes and lunches and breakfasts. So together, it's a sign that pulling together, the community can make a difference. I'm encouraged by that. I mean, it's way too early to see whether it's a trend. You know, we're close to the margin of error, but there has been, on the face of it, a small improvement, and we can be encouraged about that.
And there are still 290,000 children living in households with low income, and 80,000 children in low income households experience material hardship. Why are there so many children living in these conditions in Aotearoa?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a real concern. Good start is to think of the history. It wasn't the case in the 80s. It really a combination of the global financial crisis at the end of the 80s and a very strict budget in response to those global pressures in the early 90s, often referred to as the mother of all budgets. That's when the rates of material disadvantage and income-related poverty for families where there were children really spiked and have stayed with some ups and downs pretty similar ever since. So it's a problem really of the last 27 years or so. So it's relatively short term. What's really happened is there haven't been index-related benefits to consumer prices and to wages. There have been one-off interventions, but there hasn't been a sustained and continuous attempt to bring child poverty down. And that's what we need. I think it's for the government to erect a good safety net, and that started under the previous government. We won't have seen the full benefits of the $25 a week increase until the collection that's just finished 30th of June this year. And the government certainly have, both governments, indicated their commitment to raising the Working for Families package. So I'm really encouraged. I think also you can say the community's realised the issue and got much more involved. It's a government starting point, but it's a whole of community response, Lachlan, in my view, and that's something that we've got to own as a country.
So do you feel that, I mean, in order for the issue to be properly tackled, you can't just rely on the government, you have to get the community involved too?
Correct. Starting point is the government, but it's a whole of community response. We need community groups, NGOs, charities, all involved. And we can do it. That's what I think is exciting. That which took less than 30 years to create can be undone even quicker. We have a goal. We signed up to the Sustainable Development Goals in New York in 2015. That's non-negotiable. We can't squirm out of that. And that said, amongst other things, goal one, that poverty in all its forms, including child poverty, would be reduced by all signatory countries. There were 192 signatory countries. Would be reduced by half by 2030, including child poverty. So that's our long-term goal. Halve the rates by 2030. That's very durable. And I guess my plea to the past and the current government is that we need more than one-offs to really tackle this problem. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. Just an annual or just an occasional bump up in rates of benefits for children won't be enough. There's got to be sustained and continuous and committed progress. That's the challenge, but it's achievable.
And I suppose looking to the future with the new Labor government's policies, including increasing paid parental leave and the proposed families package, do you see this helping? Are these the kind of measures that need to be taken?
Exactly right. Bang on. And I think I'm hopeful there's been a mention in the 100-day work plan to introduce legislation to address child poverty reduction. And I hope that legislation will look at issues like measurements that we can agree on, because there's no one perfect measurement. It's a bit of a holy grail search to think there is one. But there's a variety, a suite of good measurements. I hope there'll be some form of commitment to setting targets so we can see how we're going year by year with clear reporting to the public. Then maybe we won't even need a child poverty annual report that we put out in December each year. Then we may see very clearly what is happening from the government, and I'd look forward to that day.
And the report also says 135,000 children are living in households that go without seven things or more that they need, and a further 70,000 go without nine or more things. I mean, what sort of things are these, and what effect does going without them have on children?
Well, we're talking about two pairs of shoes. We're talking about adequate clothing, including a raincoat. We're talking about their own bed, their own, or having fresh fruit and vegetables daily, having meat or protein every second day, having homework tools, access to a desk at home or computer, internet. Talking about being able to go on school trips and events and to be involved in community activities and sport. Now, going without those things really mean children can't flourish and thrive, can't reach their full potential. And really, it results in a poverty of opportunity. We don't want that in New Zealand. We want all our 1.2 million children, especially those 70% who live in really tight conditions of material disadvantage. We want them to have the same opportunities as your kids and mine. And we must be committed to that as a country. And while you can't say material disadvantage causes adverse life outcomes, because many families negotiate their way through very tough situations, it is a high risk factor for criminal offending, for poor educational achievement, for low health. So when you ask what are the downstream effects, they're massive. I mean, it's costing the government millions in terms of justice, health and education problems that are at least in part attributable to living conditions of real disadvantage. And I think that's the challenge. If we want to lift the prospects for all our children, we've got to start with that really core group who are experiencing material disadvantage. That's got to be our commitment.
And you spoke earlier about there not really being any kind of government markers around child poverty. Can you talk about this a bit more?
Yeah, I think if we're serious about reducing child poverty, as this government and the previous government talked about, there's got to be at least a commitment, I think, to be setting some targets or markers. So we say every 2 or 3 years, this is where we want to be in terms of the reduction. There'll be a reduction in either this number of raw numbers or this percentage point reduction. And I think that's got to be spelled out and reported on. That's what we've never had before. We've had one-offs, and we've had concentrated efforts and things like, say, rheumatic fever, but we haven't had a comprehensive strategy that's moved us forward with a clear set of goals that are articulated and can be measured and can be reported on. That's what I look forward to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.